Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Hello there, my friend. We've got a great show with Miriam Dady in the Business Spotlight. A special reading from her today. Jerry Thigpen, local blues guitarist, will be with us through the entire show. Jan Smith is here with Tallahassee Community Chorus talking about their upcoming show. And the very wonderful Vincent Hunt talking about Creators Camp. So stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widden Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax. And it's done.
If Santa missed something on your list, get it now at Truck and Car Concepts New Year's Sale. Save hundreds of dollars on items throughout the store. Save $60 on a keyless entry system, now only $299.95. Most vehicles, or a complete bed protection package with bed liner, bed caps, and tailgate cap, only $299.95.
Hi, I'm Joe Doty.
Don't take chances. Our professional installers do it right the first time.
Truck and Car Concepts New Year's Sale on Mahan Drive across from Kraft Nissan. Call 656-8800. 656-8800.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. My friend, it is always a pleasure to have you here or there, wherever you may be, at my side, as we have conversation with some of the most interesting, creative, informative, contributive people in our community. That is, in fact, our mission here, as you may well know. If you're new to our audience, welcome. And Happy New Year, by the way. It is still, I think, reasonable to say that, as we are embarking upon 2016, halfway through the month of January already? Really? Wow. I haven't even, like, finished putting up all my Christmas decorations yet. Is it too late for that? I guess it is. Nonetheless, not only is time marching on, people like Vincent Hunt are marching on. He'll be with us in the second hour. If you don't know Vincent Hunt, well, my suggestion is that you put your seatbelt on, because he's going to rock your world with some very interesting ideas about education, we'll say. That's unfair, because it's trying to confine this beam of light that is Vincent Hunt to one or two words of description. We'll let him speak for himself, but I think the fact that you're that I've piqued your interest is enough. I hope that you'll stay with me through the entire show, because he's going to talk about his work as a founder and creator and current CEO of Massive Corporation, and what it does to bring massive change into people's lives, primarily now through this work he's entitled Creators Camp. This is a really a different way, it would be fair to say, of approaching the whole business of education and inspiration and innovation, getting young people especially plugged into a process, a creative exploration of their own interests and talents, and how they go about then developing those skills and applying them in real world ways, right? So this idea that there are jobs they are creating for themselves that don't yet exist, or another way of saying that is they are, of course, the future then of what our world economically, we'll say, is all about. But we don't know what that is yet. And they're in the business of creating that world. And as they do so going forward, we have the joy of helping them make that discovery or discoveries. So he's got some great stories to tell from his most recent experiences with Creators Camp. And along with that, some of the news of future activities coming up. Jerry Thigpen, oh man, he is with me for the entire show today. Blues guitarist and vocalist, local musician, longtime beloved local musician, getting it out there. And man, he's got a great lineup of shows. He was at Backwoods Bistro last night. Well, he's here today, ready to lay it on us. And so, in fact, in this first segment of the show, I want to have him come and share one of his tunes with us. So stand by. I've got Jerry Thigpen here in studio with me. What else? We've got Miriam Dady, who is bringing us a reading from this book, The World's Greatest Salesman. Wow. So as part of her regular participation here in the Business Spotlight, we've got Miriam Dady bringing us some inspired thought that'll help, I think, get us all fired up in the beginnings of this new year. And the very lovely Jan Smith with Tallahassee Community Chorus. He's going to be with us talking about the upcoming concert that they have scheduled. Now, if you don't know about Tallahassee Community Chorus, well, of course, I can tell you that it is Tallahassee's chorus from Tallahasseans for Tallahassee. I mean, that's kind of a neat way of saying it. And they have something called Sing for the Cure. And this concert will be a proclamation of hope, meaning that they are aiming the effort here at providing awareness and support of a cure for breast cancer. Anyway, so as promised, I've got Jerry Thigpen here, and we've got this first song from him. I believe it's a Muddy Waters tune, so let's enjoy Jerry Thigpen.
Shooting tombstone ponies, riding balls and chain. I'm drinking TNT, I'm smoking dynamite. I hope some schoolboy wants to start a fight. I'm ready, red as anybody can be. I'm ready for you, I hope you're ready for me. I feel so good that I want you to know. One more drink and I wish I could, then a whole lot of loving's gonna make me feel good. I'm ready, red as anybody can be. I'm ready for you, I hope you're ready for me. I know y'all think that I ain't no well. Stop what you're doing, baby, come over here. I'll prove to you, darling, that I ain't no square. I'm ready, I'm ready as anybody can be. I'm ready for you, I hope you're ready for me.
Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Widen Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Widen Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Widen's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Widen is known for taking care of business. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Changing the face of talk radio in Tallahassee. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Time now for this week's Business Spotlight with Miriam Dady, brought to you by PushTheEnvelope.biz.
Hello there, I'm Miriam Dady. It's time for Tallahassee Business Spotlight. We are beginning a new year. It's 2K16, can you believe it? And I've got a challenge for you. Today, I'm going to share from a book by Og Mandino called The Greatest Salesman in the World. If you've read it, you'll know I'm not exaggerating when I say it will change your life if you let it. And before I read it, briefly, I want to tell you how the plot goes. There's a young man called Hafid. He's somewhere in the Middle East. It's ancient times. And Hafid is given these precious scrolls. Each scroll contains a principle for success in life as well as in sales. And with that, let me begin. Chapter 8, The Scroll Marked 1. Today I begin a new life. Today I shed my old skin, which hath too long suffered the bruises of failures and the wounds of mediocrity. Today I'm born anew, and my birthplace is a vineyard where there is fruit for all. Today I will pluck grapes of wisdom from the tallest and fullest vines in the vineyard. For these were planted by the wisest of my profession who have come before me generation upon generation. Today I will savor the taste of grapes from these vines, and verily I will swallow the seeds of success buried in each, and new life will sprout within me. The career I have chosen is laden with opportunity, yet it is fraught with heartbreak and despair, and the bodies of those who have failed, were they piled one atop another, would cast a shadow down upon all the pyramids of the earth. Yet I will not fail as the others, for in my hand I now hold the charts which will guide me through perilous waters to shores which only yesterday seemed but a dream. Failure no longer will be my payment for struggle. Just as nature made no provision for my body to tolerate pain, neither has it made any provision for my life to suffer failure. Failure, like pain, is alien to my life. In the past, I accepted it as I accepted pain. Now I reject it, and I'm prepared for wisdom and principles which will guide me out of the shadows into the sunlight of wealth, position, happiness, far beyond my most extravagant dreams, until even the gold apples in the Garden of Hesperides will seem no more than my just reward. Time teaches all things to him who lives forever, but I have not the luxury of eternity. Yet, within my allotted time, I must practice the art of patience, for nature never acts in haste. To create the olive, king of all trees, 100 years is required. An onion plant is old in 9 weeks. I have lived as an onion plant. It has not pleased me. Now, I wouldst become the greatest of olive trees, and, in truth, the greatest of salesmen. And how will this be accomplished? For I have neither the knowledge nor the experience to achieve greatness, and already I've stumbled in ignorance and fallen into pools of self-pity. The answer is simple. I will commence my journey unencumbered with either the weight of unnecessary knowledge or the handicap of meaningless experience. Nature already has supplied me with knowledge and instinct far greater than any beast in the forest, and the value of experience is overrated, usually by old men who nod wisely and speak stupidly. In truth, experience teaches thoroughly, yet her course of instruction devours men's years, so the value of her lessons diminish with the time necessary to acquire her special wisdom. The end finds it wasted on dead men. Furthermore, experience is comparable to fashion. An action that proves successful today will be unworkable and impractical tomorrow. Only principles endure, and these I now possess. For the laws that will lead me to greatness are contained in the words of these scrolls. What they will teach me is more to prevent failure than to gain success. For what is success other than a state of mind? Which two among a thousand wise men will define success in the same words? Yet failure is always described but one way. Failure is man's inability to reach his goals in life, whatever they may be. In truth, the only difference between those who have failed and those who have succeeded lies in the difference of their habits. Good habits are the key to all success. Bad habits are the unlocked door to failure. Thus, the first law I will obey, which precedeth all others, is I will form good habits and become their slave. As a child, I was a slave to my impulses. Now I am a slave to my habits, as are all grown men. I have surrendered my free will to the years of accumulated habits, and the past deeds of my life have already marked out a path which threatens to imprison my future. My actions are ruled by appetite, passion, prejudice, greed, love, fear, environment, habit, and the worst of these tyrants is habit. Therefore, if I must be a slave to habit, let me be a slave to good habits. My bad habits must be destroyed and new furrows prepared for good seed. I will form good habits and become their slave. And how will I accomplish?
More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny here on a Saturday when we are looking forward to another exciting concert with the Tallahassee Community Chorus, bringing us, as they always do, an unforgettable opportunity to participate in something that really comes up out of who we are as a community and at the same time gives back to us. It's a marvelous work. The Tallahassee Community Chorus performing on January 23rd, so that's just a week away, their Unity Concert. This is an annual thing for them. And they'll be featuring Sing for the Cure, A Proclamation of Hope. Now this, in and of itself, is a moving work and a tribute to those who have battled breast cancer. Now, we have with us this morning Jan Smith, who is the president, the emperor of Tallahassee Community Chorus, Her Highness, the Royal Poobah, as they like to refer to her in close quarters, and the very lovely executive director, who is Gabby Mendizabal. And I did that so well, didn't I?
You sure did.
Gabby, nice to have you with us.
Thank you.
Jan, good to see you.
Thanks, Brian. Always good to see you.
We'd like to please refer to her as Your Majesty.
Ah, beg your pardon. Yes, how are you, Your Majesty? Nice
I'm
to
great.
See you again. For those of you who are maybe unacquainted with this lovely relationship I have with Jan, be assured that she really hates my guts. It's the fact. But she loves the chorus, and her devotion there is remarkable. Anybody who knows Tallahassee Community Chorus and who knows Jan Smith knows that this is a person who has spent a lot of time and a lot of thought to how we move this organization forward. To her credit, the Tallahassee Community Chorus, along with the able talents of the artistic director, Andre Thomas, Dr. Thomas, has made some sizable advances in my mind. They have come from being a sort of, oh by gosh, by golly kind of group and have this kind of world status now. And Jen, I think that you have contributed that way as a atta girl for you. Here you do this concert, Sing for the Cure, A Proclamation of Hope. Tell us about that.
Well, Sing for the Cure, A Proclamation of Hope does focus on the stories of breast cancer survivors and the impact the disease has on them, on their families, their community, and the medical community. But our focus really is on cancer of all kinds. I mean, that work deals with one type of cancer, but the purpose of our Unity concert is to really kind of bring out what happens when someone has a diagnosis of cancer and how that impacts not just the person who's been diagnosed, but the ripple effect throughout the entire community. And the work itself is multi-movement. It's all different genres of music. Each movement was by a different composer. So we have everything from jazz to swing, and it covers and all the stories that relate to that. You've got the medical community's very strong desire to find a cure. You've got the person who's been diagnosed, facing diagnosis, taking control of the situation and living out loud. You've got the spouse who's having to deal with that issue. The mother who's concerned about what will happen to her children if she is lost to the disease, and the adult child who's remembering their mother who was lost. And it kind of all ends with an expression of the power of faith towards reaching a cure, and then how the community speaks with one voice in its hope for a cure. And we all do that. So it's really an amazing work. Each movement is preceded by a narration that kind of sets the stage for the story told by the music. And we have 10 narrators who are from all over the community who will be providing the narration.
So who are some of those folks?
We've got Dr. Sally Carioth will be talking about the humor in treatment, which we thought was perfect for her. Reverend Brant Copeland, who's a member of our chorus and also the pastor at First Presbyterian Church.
Right.
Reverend Candace McKibben, who we all know from Big Bend Hospice and a columnist in the Tallahassee Democrat.
Yes.
Shonda Knight, who's the executive producer at WCTV.
Yes.
We have also several narrators from our concert partner for this concert, who is the Tallahassee Memorial Cancer Center. Dr. Karen Russell, who is heading up the clinical trials at TMH for breast and lung cancer research, a cancer survivor, Abby Kirkland, and Jennifer Taylor, who is the administrator for the Living Well Foundation, the Joanna Francis Living Well Foundation. So it's a nice collection of folks who have a connection to the disease and also to the community. And I just think it'll be a wonderful performance, and I really encourage everyone to come.
It's remarkable to me, and it testifies to this idea that I refer to, your involvement personally, that you know each one, and you speak of these narrators as someone who knows each one of these stories and knows these people individually.
And I left out Marianne Lindley, one of our county commissioners, who will also be one of our narrators.
Yeah.
And they were all very excited to participate when they were invited. And I just think it'll be it's a very emotional, very compelling work. And I think it will be it will leave a mark.
It's very personal for you, isn't it?
Yeah, it is very personal for me as well. I've lost too many friends to cancer. And, and it's just to be able to celebrate them in this way and to perform this marvelous piece of music is just a privilege for me.
What a remarkable choice that mm-hmm. the chorus decided to take this, because the Unity concert annually varies in its emphasis.
It does, yeah. There've Sometimes been, we celebrate the diversity of things in our community, a diversity of musical styles. Last Unity concert, we celebrated Martin Luther King, Mahatma Gandhi, and Nelson Mandela,
right.
and their struggles, you know.
Human rights.
And, yep, and we've also brought forth other issues that relate to the community. In 2014, we did Alzheimer's stories, which
right.
we talked about the stories related to Alzheimer's and other dementia. So it's kind of, I call it our concert with a cause.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
it's the concert that we do that really reaches out to our community and tries to bring in elements of it. We don't always perform it by ourselves. We will sometimes bring in guest musicians right. and different folks to help us.
And this is happening on the 23rd at Ruby Diamond.
Yeah, 8 yeah. o'clock on
yeah.
the
23rd. Tickets are still available.
Yes, on our website.
Okay. So the website is tcchorus.org, in case you hadn't figured that out. tcchorus.org is the place where you can buy tickets and learn more about this particular concert and the rest of their season. They have another show coming up the 24th of April, and that will close now the 28th season for this remarkable organization, the Tallahassee Community Chorus, right here in Tallahassee. Which, Gabby, I think for you too, you've said this before in other conversations, that for your participation as the executive director, it gives you an opportunity to connect with a lot of folks in the community that you would not otherwise know. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, especially with the Unity concert, it's an opportunity to meet people that are either directly connected, affected by whatever music we're doing. You know, from the Alzheimer's stories, I don't personally know anyone that has been affected by the disease, but to see people just in the chorus,
yeah, yeah.
you know, that I don't get to normally talk to on a day-to-day
basis. And it draws you
basis,
into their experience.
Get to hear their right. story. And, you know, I had a very emotional experience with that, and it's opened my eyes to a whole different world. And that's one of the greatest things about this organization, is that it really does draw from all walks of life, all ages, and it really is a community
group.
Where
does that spring from? How is it that this chorus has for its history made that its downbeat, it seems to me, no pun intended, but it has to do with giving back, it seems.
Mm-hmm.
You guys
absolutely.
All have that sort of, hey, we're not just here to put on a show.
Absolutely. Right. It's great to perform the big mass works. They are fantastic. It's what initially got me in the door. When am I going to have an opportunity to perform these terrific works?
Yeah.
But a chance to do the Unity concerts, which are a little more closer to home, more personable, that is what has kept me in the organization.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's wonderful that we're able to do them and to have our community join us.
Tallahassee Community Chorus performing their annual Unity concert on January 23rd, at Ruby Diamond Auditorium. It's entitled Sing for the Cure, A Proclamation of Hope, celebrating, actually, those who continue in this battle against breast cancer. You are in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We'll continue our conversation with Jan Smith, president of TC Chorus, and Gabby Mendizabal, the executive director, right after this.
My dog was in bad shape, and I was scared. I had never seen her so sick, and my mind was racing. What to do? Who to call? I mean, I raised her from a puppy. She's like my best friend. A few years ago, she developed diabetes, and I've been following her daily regimen carefully. But that morning, something just wasn't right. She could barely move, and I thought, I'm losing my dog. I called a friend, and he said, call Dr. Pliskin. So I called Mahan Animal Clinic. They put me through immediately, and Dr. Pliskin said to get her there right away. Turns out her blood sugar had dropped dramatically, but he knew exactly what to do. I guess you know. There's no other place I would go knowing that Mahan Animal Clinic and Dr. Pliskin are there for me and Aerith.
Special people and special care for those you love. Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive near Costco. On the web at MahanAnimalClinic.com or call 402-0557.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So we're back and we're talking with Jan Smith and Gabby Mendizabal, who, I might add, is not only the executive director interim. Okay, folks, hang in here with me, will you please? I didn't check all my notes, okay? So shoot me. But the fact is that Gabby really is kind of holding things together from various points of view and various quadrants of responsibility. She is, in fact, the director of the marketing and promotion and such for the chorus. But in the absence of their executive director, do I have this right? Sort of? No? Gabby, what is your job and what are you doing and why are you here?
I'm here because I wandered in and I just saw smiling faces.
Well, that makes two of us. Yeah.
No,
so you're not the executive director.
I am not. Okay. No, I help with marketing and publicity.
You could
for
have
the
said
course.
This earlier, you know.
But, I could have,
but you didn't want to embarrass.
I was letting that kind of set in
front of
know?
All three of my listeners. Yeah. I understand. It's okay. Well, be that as it may, your involvement remains noteworthy in that when it comes down to how this organization comes together, it's always great to have somebody with world-class talent and vision like Dr. Thomas at the helm, which he has done now. I think we figured this out 30-some years. How long has he been the director I guess he's the artistic director for the chorus. 28 years. Mm-hmm. He's been at the university close to 33 or 4, somewhere in that.
Somewhere in that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And talking about retirement, what an idiot. He can't do that. What are we going to do? Dr. Thomas, if you're listening right now, I want you to understand something. There is no retirement. None. Forget about that. It's an illusion. We will drag you in. But be that as it may, the chorus continues under his tutelage. But then it's the people like Jan and Gabby who kind of knit all that stuff together. And you have a blast doing it, don't you?
We sure do.
We do. Yeah.
We are a very fun board. And the nice thing is we all get together. We have fun. We get down to business. But we do it, you know, because we want to genuinely be there and help each other
My
out.
My question is, when you do have your board meetings, do you begin in song?
We usually begin with chocolate.
Yeah, we sure do.
Yeah.
That's also good.
Yeah.
Yes. You begin with chocolate, but isn't there any singing involved in these board meetings? I can't imagine a group of vocalists coming
together. Sometimes, yeah.
Not even a warm-up?
Oh. No, no.
Nah.
No.
Just,
we get down to business.
Get down to business.
We like short board meetings.
How does the chocolate help? That's what I want to know. Does that like energize everybody?
Yeah.
Or just reward them for showing up?
You know, gets the endorphins going and the great ideas flowing.
Okay, I'm with you on that.
Don't knock our chocolate. That's a very important part of our board meetings.
Absolutely. I'm just curious. Now, for those who are just joining us, we want to talk about this other concert that you have coming up. We have referred to the 23rd as the Unity concert date. Tickets are available. You can go to the chorus website, tcchorus.org. Then, on the 28th, on the 24th of April, they have another concert with two sacred works, the Poulenc Gloria and Schubert's Mass in E flat major. Jan was quick to point that out earlier. And so there you go. So beyond this concert coming up next week, then comes this concert in April. Tell us about these two works.
Well, we performed the Poulenc Gloria when we went to Beijing in 2007. For the Beijing International Choral Festival. So that
special.
Is a work that we are performing for the second time.
Very
the
special.
Schubert, we've never performed before, so it's entirely new to all of us. Dr. Thomas has never conducted it before, so it's going to be new to everyone, and
Very
we're
cool.
looking forward to it, being something new to learn.
Very cool. And this amazing organization, and such a pleasure to have with us Jan Smith, the president, and Gabby Mendizabal, who is the director of marketing and promotions and standing in as their executive director, according to me, for some interim period of time. How about that? along with the other people who are also the executive. Apparently, we have several executive directors. Is that how this works?
We're all the executive director.
Oh, yes. Thank you for getting me off the hook on that one. Yeah, sometimes I just need a good lawyer around here. That's what I need. So when you look forward, this is now 2016. The Chorus has been around. This is your 28th season. Any forecast as to what lies ahead?
Well, oh, you know.
Great music.
Great music.
Yeah.
Always great music.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, but I mean, following this concert in April, you guys go into hiatus.
Well, we go to New York.
Ah.
Yes.
In June, we'll be at Carnegie Hall singing the works of Andre Thomas, under the baton of Andre Thomas.
So well, that's very cool.
We are all looking forward to that.
When is that, in June?
June 20.
At Carnegie Hall.
Yep. Carnegie Hall.
Well,
it'll be our second time singing
that?
Carnegie Hall. Yes.
Any other international travel plan?
In 2017, we will be traveling to Ireland to perform in the Limerick Choral Festival. So we'll be going to Limerick. We'll all have to learn some limericks before we go.
So with the opportunity to perform in other places around the world, right?
Yes.
Carnegie Hall, no less. Mm-hmm. How does that, you think, help the Chorus? I mean, as an organization, do you find upon your return, or maybe, I know you've been to Poland, and I think you went to Rome or China.
Yeah,
and,
yeah, we went to Rome this past summer.
How does it change for the members of the Chorus, do you think?
It really bonds everyone a little closer together. Those that go on the trips really become very close, because it's always an exhausting but very rewarding experience to do these festivals. And we get to meet singers from all over the world. Sometimes the other choirs that participate are from our own country, but sometimes they're from other places in the world. We went to Prague. We had most of the male singers were Russian singers, and we had a Russian choir singing with us, and some Czech singers as well. So it's in Italy, we had members of the Italian Opera Chorus singing with us, and we sang for a mass at the Vatican. Which, when are you ever going to be able to do that?
Incredible.
So it provides a real wonderful experience for our singers, and it's a very good bonding opportunity as well, and it does help us increase our membership.
I noticed too that some of your members come from great distances.
Yes, mm-hmm.
I mean, there are people who live in Thomasville and Bainbridge and Pensacola and all of
Mariana.
Wow. I mean, they travel in, and when they commit to the Chorus, that's a weekly rehearsal time, is it not?
Every Monday night.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those rehearsals can be intense. I remember when you guys were doing the Bernstein work, Leonard, is it Bernstein or Bernstein? What do you say? Does it matter?
I don't think it matters.
Tomato, tomato.
Lenny.
Tomato,
tomato. Lenny his friends, right. including Dr. Thomas, who I think was actually a friend of his. But anyway, the point being, wow, that's an intense rehearsal schedule.
It is.
When you're doing some of these works that just boggle the mind, technically and vocally, you got a piece of work ahead of you. It's not just singing a bunch of tunes, right? It's really digging into the, as you said earlier, Gabby, the great works worldwide. Well, folks, what a marvelous opportunity to talk with Jan and with Gabby about the upcoming concerts for Tallahassee Community Chorus. Again, a reminder, January 23rd, their Unity Concert, Sing for the Cure, a Proclamation of Hope, and celebrating and recognizing the battle against breast cancer. And then again in April, the 24th, with two sacred works, the Poulenc Gloria and Schubert's Mass in E-flat Major. Don't miss it. It's what makes this town, in part, such a special place to be. We love celebrating that, and we celebrate the work that you ladies are doing. Thank you for being our guests.
Thank you,
Brian.
A pleasure. Stay with me, folks. I got more coming up after this. At the top of the hour here, I've got ABC News, and we'll be back with more Tallahassee Talks with Brian Sir.
In 1788, Robert Burns wrote a poem about the coming of the new year and set the lyrics to an old Scottish tune. The little song became quite popular as the words recalled the days gone by.
In 1929, Canadian bandleader Guy Lombardo popularized the song through his annual New Year's Eve radio and TV broadcasts, making it his trademark. This New Year's Eve, millions across the world will gather in celebration and at the stroke of midnight join in singing Auld Lang Syne, wishing you all the best in the new year and reminding you, drive safely and never drink and drive. From Health and Wellness Centers of North Florida, call 850-656-2006. And Southern Smiles Family Dentistry, 850-875-3908. And by Volcar Service and Sales, call 850-942-4980.
The most talked about topics in town, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Welcome back, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, here with a wonderful collection of conversations. Jan Smith talking about their upcoming concert, Sing for the Cure, in support of breast cancer awareness. And then we have, of course, the lovely, very informative Vincent Hunt, who is standing by. He's going to be with me here shortly. Jerry's going to regale us with some more of his fantastic music. So we'll talk to Jerry a little bit further on down the line here, and he's got another song for us here. And in talking with him, wanted to get his take on the death of David Bowie. Sort of certainly a provocative event, I think, for a lot of folks around the world, a lot of the art world and music world, film. And because David Bowie was a creative force and reinvented himself so many times, but participated in so many different ways as a creative in bringing his music and art and visuals and film, and just an amazing individual, honestly. So wanted to talk with Jerry about his take on David Bowie. And then he's got a song for us. Tragic news for the music world, for the entertainment world. This is a guy who reinvented himself remarkably and dramatically and successfully. How did that strike you? How did it affect you?
It really affected me pretty deeply. I always thought the world of Bowie. He was like a beautiful friend. Mm. And I would look to him for inspiration. Especially on songwriting, because he was able to put together a piece of music and make it marketable and yet still stay within his values. And I think that what David's passing means to me is that if you have a painting to paint, do it now. If you have a piece of music to write, do it now. Don't sit here and go, oh, I got to get to that. Oh, I got to get to that.
Yeah.
Because David's passing shows that you don't have forever.
Yeah.
You got to get it done.
Yeah.
And if you got it inside of you, you got to get it out.
Hmm. Good advice. And yeah. I think timely for all of us who are in some way or another creatives. If you've got those ambitions, what are you waiting for?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And so that's what I'm trying to do at this point in my career. Is
get it done.
Get it done. Get it out there.
You know, in fact, talking with a lot of life coaches and people who are in that business, oftentimes they will say the best way to create something is just start. You know, just get.
Yeah.
If you're a writer, if you're a recording artist, if you're a painter, whatever you're doing, just get started.
Well, for us with the songwriting that we're doing now, it started out slowly. But as we went, the faucet opened up and it started flowing.
Look at that.
And here it is now. We started out with one or two songs. We've got 9 songs ready to go.
It's awesome.
And so and some others that we're working on.
Yeah.
So if you don't get started, you'll never get it done.
That's a truth.
And you don't want to come to the end and go, gee, I wish I had done that. Yeah.
Yeah. Good word. Thanks, brother. Appreciate that. Jerry Thigpen, our guest. Stay with me, folks. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
baby drive a big fast car. You know she's gonna drive it very far away. That's what she said.
Four ways to shine in life, and Mary Maids has it all going on. Experience, reliability, thoroughness, and professionalism. And that's why we rely on Mary Maids right here at our studios. They are proficient, and they are reliable. And I want to tell you, when I come into the office and I find the studio fresh and clean, it's a great feeling. And the neat thing about it is they get into all the details that I probably would overlook. You know, I mean, but I want to tell you something else. As a new customer, when you sign up for their 24 weekly or biweekly cleanings, on your first cleaning, you're going to save up to $400 because they'll spend that first cleaning doing the extra deep cleaning that you probably would do if you wanted to do it yourself, but you don't have to. You can call Mary Maids. It's the best thing to do. And let me tell you something. Here's another special offer. You're going to save yourself 10% on that first call just by mentioning Tallahassee Talks when you call. Would you do that for me? Call Mary Maids this week. Here's the number, 386-2205, and tell them, I heard your ad on Tallahassee Talks, and I'm ready to receive 10% discount
on my service. They'll do it for you. They're right here in Tallahassee. You can go online at marymaids.com.
In 1788, Robert Burns wrote a poem about the coming of the new year and set the lyrics to an old Scottish tune. The little song became quite popular as the words recalled the days gone by. In 1929, Canadian bandleader Guy Lombardo popularized...
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Well, friends, you know, the music just keeps on flowing thanks to guys like Jerry, the blues man Thigpen.
All right.
And his trio who continue to just, I mean, they're relentless in their musical stylings and diversity and all that good stuff. And Jerry, thanks for being with us.
We're like a bad habit.
You really
just keep
are.
Coming back.
I mean, dadgummit. And you got a great lineup of shows here. Of course, you played yep. last night at Backwoods Bistro.
Right, right.
And then coming up this Friday, the 22nd, you'll be at Hurricane's Grill up there in the Killarn Lakes area.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Talk about the shows that you do for those who may not know you.
Okay. We're a rock and blues trio.
Ah.
And so that's our format. That's what we do is rock and blues.
Mm.
We don't claim to be anything else.
Mm. A lot of original music too. You're not just doing covers.
We're doing a lot of original stuff. And I want to get to that. I want to talk about that some, but what we do is we sculpt our shows to the venue.
Ah.
So if we're playing at, say, Backwoods Bistro, we have a lot of people that come in there that want to hear our material.
Okay.
And so we will play probably more of our material at a venue like that. Whereas at Hurricane's Grill, which is also a great venue, it's more, though, of a family-type place. People come out there with their kids. Okay. They're hanging out. There's kids running all over the place. It's more like playing a picnic almost. So what we do is we still play some of our material, some of our original stuff, but we do sculpt it more to, you know, we do a few more Beatles songs, a few more classic rock tunes.
Nice.
In that type of thing.
Yeah.
So we don't just play the same show everywhere we go.
And that's important to know because, you know, if you think you've heard it all with Jerry Thigpen, well, you're mistaken because these guys just keep cooking. And
right.
Tell me the other members of the trio again.
It's Pete Winter on bass and vocal and Jimmy Bone on the drums.
Yeah, yeah.
Both of which are two of the finest players I've ever worked with in my life.
That's
and they're
awesome.
They're really wonderful guys, and they know their instruments quite well.
Mm-hmm. When did you start playing? When you were like...
Oh, I was 11 when I picked
11
up
years
guitar.
Old.
I saw
that.
The Beatles on Ed Sullivan, and that was the end of that.
The rest of
you
us.
Know, much See, to my mother's chagrin.
Yeah. See, it inspired you to play. It inspired me to get my own show. See, that's the difference.
Yeah,
there
you know.
You go. So apparently Ed Sullivan and the Beatles had a lot to do with all of our career decisions later on. So, and then let's see, we've got this. Oh, and you're playing at American Legion Hall with Acme Rhythm and Blues. That's on the 29th.
Right, right. I play with Acme Rhythm and Blues, a wonderful band, seven-piece with a horn section.
Yeah.
Strictly cover band. But when I say cover band, I hate the term cover band.
Yeah.
More like you're performing other people's material, but you put your own twist on it.
Yeah, yeah. Interpretation.
They're all really good players.
Yeah, yeah.
And
how many people in that group?
Seven.
Wow.
Seven piece.
Yeah.
And
that's at American Legion?
That's at American
Legion.
On the 29th.
Okay, and then you've got this show coming up at the Bowery Station in Apalachicola, and that's February 5th?
February 5th.
Yeah.
That's going to be a good show. We did one earlier this year at the Bowery, the trio did, and brought the place down.
Great
venue. I mean, it was
just
a great show.
Yeah, I love that place.
I feel like we're really going to have a big time this time. We were doing what they called their after hours thing last time, in which it was a cover charge, and you came in and it was after the regular show.
Mm-hmm.
And they were trying it. They were seeing if it was going to work. This time we're just doing a regular show, which means we're going to start about 6:30, 7 o'clock, and probably do two long sets. There won't be any cover charge.
Cool.
So we really want to pack the house.
Let's
do
it.
Really
Let's
do
it. That's on the 5th of February. Your music comes, and you said this before, there's a kind of an equal love of the whole blues tradition, we'll say, that has for you been, I suppose, sort of fundamental. What moves you musically? What do you really like listening to most, I guess, if you had your druthers?
Well,
or is that hard to say?
That's hard to say. I listen to a lot of different things. If we're just sitting around the house and we have people over, maybe I'll have some Stan Getz on or something like that, which is a jazz instrumental saxophone.
Right.
I love Mark Knopfler's work, Eric Clapton's work. I really tend to listen to other guitarists a lot for inspiration.
I imagine.
So it could be any number of things. You know, it just depends. I just, one of my kids for Christmas gave me Billy Gibbons' new album, Perfecto Mundo.
Yeah.
And so we've been listening to that a lot. Great, great piece of work. He's you know, of course, fabulous guitarist. But the production work on that is very, very good. Yeah. And it's inspiring me.
And I'm noticing this. You said this earlier. With the shows that you're doing, you're bringing more and more of your original work to the shows, aren't you?
We're trying to.
Yeah.
What I'd really like to do, the grand plan would be to try to get us on a festival circuit to where we could do one show and not have to carry the night.
Yeah.
And that way we can really concentrate on our original stuff.
Yep.
And we would probably still throw in, you know, something by somebody else that we really liked, like, you know, Magic Sam or Muddy Waters or even Clapton or Jeff Beck or something like that.
Yeah.
So, but these things don't come quickly.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. He's the friend of Tallahassee. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking about Vincent Hunt here. He is the Massive Corporation founder and CEO.
Yes, sir.
So good to see you. It's been a while, my friend. How are you?
It's been a while, but it's been good.
You have been traveling and up and down the road, both literally and figuratively, because you've got so many things going on. We're going to talk about Creators Camp.
Yes, absolutely.
If we can squeeze that in, because we got so much.
Yep.
How are you doing personally? What's happening with you?
Doing good. A lot of, over the last couple of years, you know, there's been a lot of transition. You know, everything that, because I can remember talking to you like 3 years ago.
Unbelievable.
Right? We was on the mic. And we kind of, we foretold the story of, you know, this transformation that Tallahassee was going to go through.
Yeah.
And now here we are, you know, years later, and now we're in the midst of it all, right? Yeah. We're all in the throes of this transformation, and it's exciting.
It is exciting.
You got FSU, $100 million grant for entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
We didn't see that coming, but it hit us.
Bingo.
Right?
Yeah.
But it's all these different things kind of coming together that we kind of, again, we foretold, but now they're here. So now we got to deal with
it. It is remarkable.
Yep.
But to me, your participation and your personal contribution is an illustration of, an example of that transition and that willingness to invest and stick.
Yep.
And it hasn't all been nicely, neatly laid out.
No, not at all.
It's sausage making of the ultimate kind. I mean,
exactly. But that's innovation, right?
It is, isn't it?
Innovation is chaos. Hmm. I think a lot of people think that innovation is this pretty laid out road of strategy, and it's not. It's absolutely the opposite. Innovation is messy. It's chaotic. It's uncertain. It's vicious. It's all these things. Like innovation in itself is a force all into itself. And I think that sometimes we just kind of we forget about that idea. Huh. And as human beings, right, charged with this idea of creating and innovating, like getting stuck in the throes of this thing, it's almost like saying, here comes a tornado, but I'm going to put my arms around and control it so it spins a certain way.
Yeah.
Good luck with that one.
Right.
It's not going to happen. Whenever there's change that's about to happen, we're participants in the change, but the change is going to happen with or without us. In time, our role in that change is a decided role that we take on.
I like what you just said. Innovation is that misty sort of vapor at the same time that it's this awesome magnetic force,
mm-hmm.
but you get in the way of that by trying to own it, control it, manipulate it.
Mm-hmm.
It can vanish on you.
Mm-hmm.
You stalemate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The only thing that you can do is recognize when innovation is about to happen, right? And then use your skills, use everything that you've learned in time, your creativity, to become part of the innovation.
Yeah.
Think about think about taxi cabs, right? So you got guys just sitting around, guys and gals sitting around, they're taxi cab drivers, but all of a sudden Uber comes. That's pretty vicious, right?
Yeah.
All of a sudden flipping upside down what we even know as a taxi cab service. And that's at one scale, one level.
Yeah.
But like when we think about something that I'm deeply passionate about, which is education, people always ask this question, Vince, do you really think education is going to change? Absolutely. Huh. Like if you sense it coming, it's coming. The question is, how is that going to happen? And each individual taking their participation or in that or their role in that innovation. So as it pertains to education, right?
Yep.
Here's an idea. What if it's not the policymakers? What if it's the parents?
Huh.
Right? What if it's not the school board? What if it's an uprising of the teacher / artist? Right? That's the kind of stuff that I think about, you know. So innovation is messy. It's very messy, and you just have to understand what your strengths are, what your skill sets are, and how they apply to the wave of innovation that's coming.
See, and I've watched you do that within your own life.
Absolutely.
And, you know, the things that you put your hand to years ago, I mean, you did, mm-hmm. and you moved on.
Yeah.
And this business of Massive Corporation
yes.
then came about.
Yep.
Tell us about Massive. Just in what
yeah,
how,
Massive
how do you
Corporation.
Best describe it?
I best describe it as, you know, the embodiment of creativity and innovation, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. Like when I created Massive Corporation, I didn't even have a mission statement or a defined mission for it, right, or a vision for it. What I did have for it was a space that I was willing mm-hmm. to let go enough where the community could decide what Massive Corporation would be. Let the community's moaning and groaning determine the service that it would provide.
Mm-hmm.
So what Massive ultimately became, right, is a design and innovation company focused primarily on reinventing or reestablishing what it looks like to prepare emerging creators and innovators
right.
for the future.
Right.
So I'm talking to K-12. That's where Creators Camp comes in.
Okay.
So Massive Corporation becomes the house where Creators Camp lives, and there will be other initiatives like Kaleidoscope will come out this year. There's some other things that I'm going to release. But it's all geared toward and designed to reimagine what it means to prepare emerging creators and innovators for the future.
I've heard you say that you transitioned from being the curative practitioner
yeah.
into the preventive.
Yeah.
So since instead of trying to heal the sick people,
mm-hmm.
we're down here trying to prevent the illness.
At its root.
At its root.
Yes.
And doing that within the concerns and the opportunities
mm-hmm.
of an educational mm-hmm. model
mm-hmm.
that is quite different than what we
very
grew,
different
it's different than what I grew up with, I think, for most of us.
Very different, you know, and you're right. Like because I've been in this, what now, a little over two decades?
Really?
In the space of creativity and innovation. And when you find that you're talking to corporate leaders, you're talking to companies, how do we innovate? How do we create? How do we grow?
Yeah.
Right? You run into these stumbling blocks where the very people that hired you to come in and consult with them, that's where the problem rests. It's not so much the company, it's the individuals not understanding their full creative capacity. So now you find yourself talking to individuals, trying to break them out of conformity, try to break them out of being stuck and not understanding their own creative intelligence. And so my question started to become, what if I were to catch them when they're 10? Would I still be having a conversation with them at 50?
Yeah.
Probably not. So that's where the corrective versus preventive medicine methodology come into play.
Gotcha.
And I never, ever imagined, I'm going to be honest with you, I never imagined that my work would become all about kids, right? Kids. I'm not talking to corporates no more. I'm not talking to them. I'm going to talk to the kids that will ultimately become the corporations.
Amen.
I think that's a little bit more focused.
And probably a little less frustrating.
Yeah, it is.
Because that's where the juice is, brother. I mean,
man,
you know, kids are naturally, all of us as kids have
yeah.
this creative tap going on
off the chain,
and it gets squished
in time. Absolutely. And you can only hear that so many times, right? Sir Ken Robinson, he has a talk on TED. And if you just look him up, Google him up, Sir Ken Robinson, he gives a talk that's so compelling to help us understand how we squander one of our greatest resources, which is the creativity in young people. In time, we try to conform them to an industrialized system that's not even industrial anymore. We're in the post-industrial, right? So as we're killing creativity, which now is a chief value proposition in any company that you go to, they're all saying we need to create, we need to innovate. Yeah. We need to really think about what we're doing as a whole, as a society, as it pertains to creativity in young people and killing their creative confidence. I think we need to build it.
The illustration of Uber versus this established, you know, industry of cabs, and look at, or taxi cabs. Look at how much pushback there has been with Uber.
Of course.
You got people throwing up their arms and going, "Hey, you can't be doing that."
The establishment,
because it's disruptive. And they didn't set out to be disruptive. They just said, "Hey, we got a great idea." But in turn, it disrupted what was an existing frame of thinking.
Yeah, and you can play two sides of the fence on that. Like, you could say the people of the minds behind Uber didn't intend to be disruptive, right?
Right.
But as creators and innovators, sometimes, a lot of times we are very intentional when we go into the chaos or when we go into the storm. So if I'm the founder of Uber, I very well may have the intent to disrupt, standing system. Why not?
One of my favorite quotes comes from the field of sociology, and this sociologist who is not necessarily famous, but one that I favored. And he's quoted as saying that when everything seems to be falling apart, it's the best evidence that progress, scientific progress, is being made.
Yeah.
With that, I want to take this quick break. We've got Vincent Hunt helping us find our way through this massive collection of thought about innovation, education, what we're doing with kids, what he's doing with something he calls Creators Camp. We're going to dig in on that when we get back. Stay with me. I want to take just a minute and tell you about Chelsea Salon. They are the official hair care salon and spa for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. And yes, this is how I am able to bring to you my very best every week, because though you can't see me, I know whether I'm at my best, and I need all the help that I can get. So when I go over to see Mary Fannin and her crew, they are proficient in everything they do. Wow. Well, I don't think there's anything that has to do with my personal look and feel that they don't do. Here's one review I read recently. This is a...
Hello, brothers and sisters in Radio Land. This is blues guitarist Jerry Thigpen. Don't you move, because this is Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So we're back and we're talking with Vincent Hunt. Creators Camp.
Yes,
get me started there. What is Creators Camp?
Well, with any company, you have to think about your product, your services. And so when massive corporation decided, right, to become deeply focused on preparing, emerging creators and innovators for the future and designing ways to do that better, our very first initiative, our very first product has become Creators Camp, which has actually been in play now for right now about 2.5 years, almost 3 years now. But it's been kind of in the very first year, of course, it was in a prototype state, just like any other product development. At Massive Course, we're not teachers, we're not educators, which gives us a really, really unique slant and approach to our work. So we really want to just completely redefine, like, what does it look like when you're building skills and helping young people acquire skills and explore and discover, things and fail? And really, how do you build their creative confidence in the midst of all of that? So Creators Camp is a place, and we say it most succinctly when we say it's where America's young emerging creators and innovators go to prepare for the future.
And when a parent looks at Creators Camp and says, why would I want my kid involved in this?
Yeah.
How do you answer them?
Wow. That could vary, because unlike, and this isn't me stabbing at the education system. I love education. Right? I think education is powerful.
Come on. Let's stab at them a little bit.
Just stab at a little bit?
Yeah, just a little bit.
I just don't think we're doing a good enough job at preparing kids for the future. Right?
Why?
We're still developing.
What are we not doing right?
We're still developing, quote unquote, the workforce. when in reality, we're going into the skills force. So when you have a kid who has interests, multiple disciplines, right? They may love to code and work on computers, but they also love plants, but they also like food, right? So how do you take this kid who's highly disruptive in three completely disparate, disciplines? How do you deal with that? Well, the traditional way to deal with that is get them to focus on one thing, do that one thing, and just drive them down that path, right?
And if you can't sit still, that's just medicating.
You got a situation.
So that he can.
You got a situation. You got to go to the doctor. Yeah, you got to go to the doctor.
Yeah.
So at Creators Camp, we want to create a space where that young person can actually explore all their skills and understand how they actually knit together in the marketplace. So we're preparing kids for the future. Yeah. So for a parent who's concerned with, will my kid be competitive in the global marketplace? Mm. We try to answer that question for them, helping them understand how they fit into the bigger scheme of
Simon
things.
Anderson spoke with us, maybe a year or so ago, and I remember him saying then, for those of you who don't know, Simon Anderson is a futurist.
Yeah.
He says, we need to think in terms of creating and training and giving opportunity for jobs that don't even exist yet.
Absolutely, uncertainty.
Yeah. And what your theme has been, if I'm not mistaken, you really believe that the young people,
mm-hmm.
the kids of this generation,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
They're at the right place at the right time. We just don't realize it as well as we ought to, perhaps.
It's always been that way.
Yeah.
It's always been that way. If you think about, if you break time down into four, and I kind of explain it to, to parents this way. Yeah. If you break time down in four simple pillars, you have the Renaissance, you have the agricultural era, then you have industrial, and then you have where we are now, which is post-industrial, what happens after the machines.
Yeah.
Right. So if you think about each one of those times, if you think about the Renaissance, you had the Picassos and the Shakespeare's and all those guys.
Yeah.
I can guarantee you when they were little kids, imagine Shakespeare as a little kid. How do you think he was talking? Right. A little odd, so imagine being his English teacher. But what happens is as he grew into his time, he became one of the greatest literary innovators that we know.
Yeah.
Shakespeare and Picasso. He was weird, but he was awesome in his time.
Yeah.
If you think about agriculture. There were agricultural innovators who they didn't start off just pop out the womb doing what they were doing.
Yep.
20 years before their great apex moments,
they
were born and they came into their time. Same with industrialism, the Fords, all the industrialists. Yep. But here we are in the post-industrial. Why do we think that 20, 30 years ago, a generation of kids were being born that were actually suited for this time?
Yep.
Now, look 20 years into the future. Kids are being born right now for a time that we know not of. And so when they come out a little weird, it's because they were born for a time that we know not of. We need to embrace that uncertainty, not be afraid of that uncertainty. And instead of asking them, what do you want to become? Take a hard, close look at them and say, what are you? And let's study that.
Listening to you, I've heard you talk, too, about some great stories coming up out of the Creators Camp experience.
Yes.
Individuals that have,
absolutely.
I mean, one young fellow you were telling me was just in tears because you asked a few simple questions.
Yeah.
Give us just a snippet of how that went down.
Yeah. For the sake of confidentiality, we'll just call him Kid X.
Yeah.
Right. So Kid X comes in super, super smart. His parents, highly educated. They were having a hard time really trying to figure out what was he going to be when he grew up.
Right.
Right. I really believe that people are born with the seeds of what they're going to be when they grow up already. Our question, we should be trying to figure out what those seeds are and water them.
Help them make that discovery.
Right. And water it. Because as adults, I believe kids are born with a perfect operating system. It comes fearless. It comes courageous. It wants to learn all this stuff. The only piece of software that a kid doesn't have is context software. That's you and I, adults. We've been in the world long enough that if we see a kid playing in the dirt, that might be botany. We know that a kid that loves Legos might be an architect or an engineer. That's us. We're context software. They don't know. If you ask them, they're just playing. That's the only word they know, play, right? So when you ask a kid, what do you love to do? What's your thing? So this young kid, let's call him, Kid X. I said, what do you love? He says, tanks. I'm not afraid of that, right? Tanks. Tell me about the tanks. And when he goes into understanding the depths of the mechanical engineering behind tanks, That's when the conversation gets interesting.
We're talking about tanks used in warfare.
Absolutely. Yeah. Bang, bang. That's what he liked, right? Wow. So he would play games where tanks were involved every day, all day. He would read books about tanks and go online and do deep research about tanks. Tanks is his thing. So we have to go beyond the tank, above and beyond the surface, and say, what is he really into? For him, it's mechanical engineering. And when you say one day you may work at Lockheed Martin, you just unlocked a future mechanical engineer who may work at Lockheed Martin. It's really that simple to me, in my mind.
Wow.
So at the end of the conversation with him, this young man is in tears and says, I never get to have this conversation. And now, right now, if you go see him, right, he's fired up about school. He's fired up about his life. He's challenging his teachers in a completely different way, asking them, how do I become a mechanical engineer? That is what I want to be, right? That, to me, is preparing a young person for the future.
Vincent Hunt, folks, I mean, I'm sitting here breathing heavily trying to keep up with this guy. Good luck with that. Because he's moving at the speed of light. But gratefully, he's come down to earth with me here for just a little bit of time. And it's never often enough in my mind that we get to have these conversations.
Absolutely.
And the greatest thrill for me is just to see you doing well.
Oh, yeah.
And to see the mission being carried forward in this way. With that, I'll say Creators Camp is one thing.
Yep.
Folks, you better stay in tune because there's a whole lot more coming.
There is.
Because that's kind of how water is, doesn't it? It just keeps on flowing.
Absolutely.
And there's a fountain here, I think, that God has placed in our midst and even within us.
Mm-hmm.
Just let it flow, brother.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Folks, this is what we do. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, bringing you all that Tallahassee is talking about this week. And in the words of Vincent Hunt, I want you to go out there today and begin innovating. Think about the way in which that innovation, that little idea you've had, might be a part of something new for you too. Maybe it's something you want to share with your friends or your family. Maybe it's something you want to keep to yourself. Whatever it is, I think I can say on behalf of Vincent Hunt and all the folks at Creators Camp, go do it.
Go do
Get
it.
Get started.
That's it.
All right. Folks, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny will be here again next Saturday morning. We look forward to having you back with us. We are the production of Alcom Marketing and Advertising right here in Tallahassee. Our executive producer is Carl Cerny. I want you to come back here next Saturday and learn more about what Tallahassee is talking about this week. So come on, Tallahassee. Come talk to me.
Witten Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Witten's top